Girl, put your cup down. Hold on. Drink freely. And holla at me if you need me. Maybe you should enjoy yourself. Boy, stuff need no help. They say fly girls have more fun. So what?
Hi, guys. Welcome in. That was a little Pop Smoke action. New album out last night. Enjoy Yourself with Karol G. Great song on the album. A lot of little R&B chill action on that album. I would advise everyone to check it out. A couple bangers. Great cover of 50 Cent. Track 17, Got It On Me, which like incorporates a lot of 50 Cent's Many Men. All around, good project considering I don't think there was a ton of material that he had recorded because, again, his death was right after the release of his second album. Anyway, to move forward, we are back, and it's July 3rd now. We're going to go to 4 to 5 days a week, and we're talking straight football, some redraft, some dynasty, but really, I'm really excited to get back into it and just be talking football, and we're going must drafts. We did the must draft wide receivers, a great list, a few disagreements from people there, but really what we have to remember the must draft, the main guys, Juju, must draft guy, but he's pushing up draft boards, guys. He used to be 40, 45. He's pushing up to 30. And at overall 30, I still like him, but Kenny Galladay's really in the same era. Galladay's a much better pick. Still like Juju a lot, though, but he's going to continue to push up draft boards because people are not idiots. Well, most people are not idiots, I would hope. They can look at the stats from 2 years ago when Big Ben was healthy and Juju was healthy. And they're going to see, oh, wait, Juju's not a fourth rounder. He's an early third rounder. So we'll see what his ADP looks like. We have Stephon Diggs, who's going to become the one of the Bills. He's going to replace John Brown. In for a great year. I've been hearing a lot of stuff. Oh, I mean, Diggs shared the load with Thielen in the past, and he still was good, and that was with a better wide receiver than John Brown, and Josh Allen is supposed to take a step this year, so I don't really see the hate on Diggs. He's a great wide receiver. Julian Edelman, Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's a big one, and so is Will Fuller. Kupp and Will Fuller are the main guys you got to remember. Actually, before I get into the must draft running backs, because that's like what the title of this episode is, I do want to discuss the Newton impact on joining the Patriots. And as a devout Patriots fan, I really, really, it's just conflicted feelings because I didn't want us to sign Newton because you know what he is. I don't know what Stidham is yet. And I feel like Stidham could officially run the offense that Brady ran last year. Our offense wasn't pushing the ball. It was a lot of short, intermediate throws. Would have been a crazy year for Edelman. But that's really it's not what happened. So now we sign Newton. And now you have to, you know, readjust. So I don't like Edelman as much, sadly. But as a Patriots fan, at first I'm like, I don't know. I don't really love Newton. But what is this, like day 3 or 4 now with the Newton news? Patriots are winning the Super Bowl, guys. Come on. 2015, that was only 5 years ago. His Auburn years, only like 8, 9 years ago, okay? Only 9 years ago since he had the best run in college football ever. So you watch out, America. You watch out. Patriots dynasty, we're still fucking here, okay? So get ready for that one. Delusional Patriots fans, we're here. We're getting more delusional by the day, second by second. I'm not even watching Newton Panthers highlights. I'm watching Newton Auburn highlights. That's how delusional we are getting over here as Patriots fans. But in terms of fantasy, I'll say this. I think it hurts everyone, and I think Newton is a low-end QB1 as long as we know he's starting. So if you're looking at who it hurts, Michelle, who's an awful running back. I don't think I've seen him break a tackle in the past 2 years. He just runs forward and falls. He is ridiculously bad, guys. Michelle's hurt by this. And so I heard today I was listening to fantasy footballers, and they're like, oh, this should benefit Sonny Michelle because mobile quarterbacks help running backs. And that's true. Look at Baltimore. Gus the Bus, the man's averaging 5 a carry when he'll probably only average about 4 a carry on any other team. But that's Lamar Jackson. That's a different mobile than Newton at this stage of his career. Newton is not going to be a design run quarterback unless it's in the red zone. So Michelle's yards per carry should not go up that much, because how often are the Pats going to run the read option at their own 25? What's the risk there is not worth it. It's not the – and Newton isn't even that fast anymore. So we can't really picture this as a Lamar, oh, the running backs are going to get better situation. Really where it hurts Michelle is his only value this year is going to be at the goal line. And Newton is going to be the goal line man. So I do I already didn't like Michelle. And with the addition of Newton, I don't like him anymore, because Newton is going to steal touchdowns at the goal line. The number one reason to have a guy like Newton is to use him in the red zone. That's why I said previously, you have Stidham between the 20s, and then you put Newton in the red zone because you have that read option, dual threat, RPO threat. That would be ridiculous. So again, hate Sonny Michelle. Julian Edelman was going to catch 90 to 100 balls because we're going to keep the same offense, and Stidham can throw the ball underneath, no issue. Now, I'm really not sure. Of course, people on Twitter have all been debunking the whole idea that Cam Newton's like throws the ball deep, pushes the ball, but he's not that accurate from short range, and just more variance of the offense when you knew what was happening with Stidham. So I do devalue Julian Edelman now. Maybe I will give a bump to a guy like N'Keal Harry, because we saw a big receiver, jump ball guy, in Carolina with Kelvin Benjamin, and Funches actually has some success. So, man, Dannon's Light and Fit yogurt. We're talking 80 calories, 10 grams of protein, and a drinkable yogurt. Off the charts, boys. Absolutely off the charts. I need a Greek yogurt sponsorship. This isn't even Greek, but Greek yogurt is the best food on the planet. We're talking macro ratios. You can't compete with the macro ratios on those babies. Fucking 12 grams of protein in an 80-calorie cup. And just a Greek yogurt. It's fucking delicious. Light and fit, baby. Unbeatable. All right. There's our take on the Patriots in a little rundown. So now we're going to get to our must draft running backs. And I'm a little bit of a broken record on this one, but we're going to start with an obvious pick, and that's James Conner. So James Conner is ranked by the Consensus as RB22. Okay, and let's pull up his ADP now. His ADP, man. Don't tell me it's this. Okay, his ADP is RB20, and he's at pick 44 is his ADP. So, if you think about James Conner, what are the biggest knocks on a guy like James Conner? Okay, number one, injuries. Everyone I talk to, oh, yeah, I think Conner could be good. I mean, I don't think he's a great running back, but, oh, my, he could be a great opportunity for him in Pittsburgh, yeah. But they're like, injuries. Well, let's look at the injuries. Let's look at what he's had in the past. A quadriceps contusion, an AC joint sprain, an ankle sprain. None of these are really systematic issues. They're not soft tissue issues. They're not concussion issues. I'm not worried about him like, oh, this is Brandon Cooks. Okay? So the injuries are kind of unrelated. I mean, yeah, some dudes are better at playing through nick and knack injuries, but you can't say the dude's injury prone when all the injuries are just different natures. They're really not like an AC joint sprain, ankle sprain. That's not like a systematic issue of James Conner. So I don't really think injuries are a big concern. Injuries for any running back, you can't just like say like, oh, this guy's been injured in the past, so he's going to be injured now. If he's coming in healthy this season, that's a clean slate, and you just can't say it. And you can't say that's going to be an issue. All right. So that's number one. Number two is you're concerned about maybe workload issues because of what happened at the end of last year when he came back after some injuries. Well, I can assure you here, Tomlin has come out and said Conner is the workhorse, and Tomlin has always used a feature back from Lev Bell to D'Angelo Williams to James Conner 2 years ago. So that offense, that system has primarily used a feature back. And yes, they did draft another running back, but I do view that as a depth piece and something where they could run Conner into the ground this year knowing he's a free agent and they won't re-sign him. And so maybe the draft pick would be a future play. And again, Benny Snell was just not – did he impress anyone last year? Did anyone watch a little Steelers games when Connor was out? And like, man, that Benny Snell, he needs more carries. No one thought that. No one sat down and was like, man, that Benny Snell really kicking at. Like, yeah, he thought that at Kentucky. I mean, shout out Kentucky. But, dude, really, like 3.9 a carry. You know, 108 carries and 426 yards. His rookie highlight video is 2 minutes. How do you make a 2 minute highlight video? Like, that just shows, like, oh, you gotta, let's click on this. I wish this was a visual. Let's see some Benny Snell highlights.
Earn your degree faster at Purdue University Global.
With over 100. Oh, the top comments. I love how he gave 110% that reply. You know the top comment of the Saquon Barkley highlights? You think he's like, oh, I love how hard he works. No. Oh, great music. And most, they haven't even shown a carry yet. We're 26 seconds into this. He ran forward, juked a guy, and fell forward. He ran forward on this carry. Oh, I'm glad that they're bleeping out stuff. That's good. He's literally just running, and then he gets tackled. He, like, falls forward. He's great at falling forward, guys. He's really good at falling. That's great. He's really good at falling forward. So, yeah, that's the competition. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Benny Snell. Great fall forward guy. Especially since Tomlin came out and called him the feature back. I mean, feature back on that offense is crazy. If you look at the past, what, 5-10 years, like, that has been a running back you want to own. And again, you have to look at when Connor was healthy last year, he actually had really good snap rates. He was in the mid-60s for most of the games he played in snap rate, which is very good for a starter. And that's actually, it's a pretty elite number. I mean, if you look at Josh Jacobs, he was much lower. And we view Jacobs as like this, oh, like he's going to be the workhorse first rounder. And Connor, fourth, fifth round pick. And you look at Connor, when he played, his targets were absolutely elite. Four targets, 4.4, 8.7, 4.25. Those are elite target numbers. And believe me, I don't think James Connor is the best running back. There's a reason why, if you're a dynasty player, I don't advise you to get James Connor. I don't even know if they're going to re-sign him. But he's in a great system. He's done it before. It's a great opportunity for touchdowns. And this is a guy that you're taking in the fourth round. He's probably the best running back you can get at this place. And I have him ranked much higher. And if you look just when he had Big Ben in 2018, I mean, it's not like his skills deteriorated in 2019. He had Big Ben in 2018. He finished as the RB6th while missing three games. He was absolutely ridiculous in 2018. So it's like one bad year. He was banged up. The offense was awful. And it's like, oh, he's not a starter anymore. He's not a good fantasy option anymore. Like, come on, guys. I understand, you know, week 15 and 16, where he has 60% snap rate, then a 13% snap rate. I understand he wasn't great in the end of the season last year. But he's coming in. He's been projected as the lead back by the head coach. And he's 1 year removed from 2018, where he was just an absolute monster. And we're looking at, what, five games over 100 yards while missing three. We're talking multiple games, three games over 30 points in fantasy. Just an absolute stud because he's catching like five. You got to remember, when he's the workhorse, he's catching like five balls a game. That's just a game changer. So that's why James Conner needs like that. Should be he's my 10th ranked running back. And I'm taking him round three comfortably. In my league, one of my main leagues, I pick 11. So he's a perfect round three candidate, you know, in the mid 30s. I think that's a great place to grab him. Of course, I have him ranked higher. But again, yeah, I play a little bit of the ADP game, sadly. Great third rounder. Absolutely great third rounder. Great RB2, RB3. I mean, I'm not going to start my team out with him, but you really should not be starting your team out with James Conner as your RB1, even though he could be it. It's just the wide receivers in that area. Great. For second guy, we're going to talk about Austin Eckler. I've actually been cooling on him a little bit. He's the RB12 in consensus. His ADP is way lower than I expected. It's RB12 consensus, RB13 ADP, and he's 25th in ADP. But this ADP is ridiculous because that's Kenyon Drake at 26.5. So I really don't know. Like, I don't know what draft you're going to be able to get Kenyon Drake at 26.5 because that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, no one is going to let you take Kenyon Drake that late. I'm sorry, that's just never gonna happen. And Kenyon Drake's gonna be probably my top must draft guy. I have him ranked very high. I do like Kenyon. He'll be on the next episode of the pod. I'll give you an example why you should draft him. He's a first rounder in my opinion. But back to the players we're talking about here. Austin Eckler. Okay, 25th in ADP. I don't really think that's where he's going to end up. He's looks like, to me, he's going to be about, he's going to be about 18, 17. That's where I assume he goes, ADP. I don't have an issue taking him there. I like him early. I like him. If you're by the turn at the back, definitely can take him. I did go through some of these points with my podcast with CJ, but I'm getting into a little deeper. So really the whole argument against Eckler is that he's not going to be the workhorse, but really look at what happened in the first 4 weeks without Melvin Gordon. See, keep in mind, the team didn't really know if Melvin was ever going to come back. So they're using Eckler with the knowledge that they might never have Melvin. So it wasn't like they're like, oh, we're going to spam Eckler. And then, oh, we'll have Melvin to make sure that we're okay in the back. Like, they didn't know if Melvin was going to come back. And, I mean, there was a healthy backup there too. Justin Jackson. Healthy. 6, 7, 5 carries. And then the Chargers did draft Kelly in the 4th round. That's not a lot of draft capital for a running back. And again, they just need a depth piece. He's not taking anyone's job, so since Eckler just signed a 4-year deal. Again, some people last year were like, oh, you want to own Jackson. He's the real deal. That was a big Brad Evans point. So thank you, Brad. Killer stuff over there, Brad. But anyway, we've established that Eckler is better the Jackson, and he's used a lot more when it's just them two. So we really don't have to concern ourselves with like how much work Justin Jackson's going to get. Again, if you're a backup running back, you're getting 7-8 carries a game, you're not hurting the starter. Really, for Eckler to be an RB1, all he needs is like 12, 13, 14 carries a game, which he was on pace to get with Jackson. His snap rates were absolutely elite. We're talking 3 out of 4 games without Melvin. He was over 70% snap rate, which is that's better than most workhorse running backs. Like, we think, if he was not on the field 30% of the time. No, that is a great number. I talk about snap rate a lot. That is a great snap rate. 12, 17, 9, 18 carries. Now, I'm not doing the math on this one, boys, even though I am probably going to be a math major. Not doing it. But, you know, that averages out to, 14, 15 carries, which, again, is aggressive. He doesn't even need 15 carries a game. When you're getting targets like 7, 6, 7, and 5, I understand it's Phillip Rivers. But when you have a guy like Austin Eckler, who's the second-best pass-catching running back, you're not going to not use him. He averaged 24 points per game in those games, and that's half-point PPR scoring. Again, we're not savages. We're not going to talk about standard PPR here. And with Melvin coming back, Eckler's snap shares fell to mostly a little bit below 50. He only had one game with over 10 carries. And Eckler was still the RB6 above Nick Chubb in 3 points behind Devin Cook. And he only had 4 games without Melvin Gordon. It was like 4 or 5. And he only had one game with 10 carries after Melvin came back. So Melvin was the workhorse last year. And he still was the RB6. And you're going to say, touchdowns, right? He did have 11 touchdowns. That was high. I don't think it's absurdly high for a high-end running back. I could see that going. He probably should have had like 7 or 8 touchdowns last year. But if you increase his workload, I think those 11 touchdowns can be sustainable. We're talking like, he was so efficient last year. That's ridiculous. Like, he can't keep up that kind of efficiency. Guys, efficiency isn't new to a guy like Austin Ekeler. He has been breaking this barrier. He doesn't have enough workload. He's been breaking it for years. You remember 2018? He literally broke statistics every game. He had like 5 carries and like 3-4 targets. And you literally could start him as a flex. And everyone was so confused. Like, it's not sustainable. There's no way. He just kept doing it in 2018. Okay? He just kept doing it. And that was with snap rates in the mid-30s. This guy is talented. You watch some game tape. His highlights aren't 2 minutes like Benny Snell's. This dude has real highlights. This guy is the real deal. He's elusive. He has big playability. If you watch him, he's honestly one of the best big play running backs. And he's honestly solid around the goal line. So the thing is that he doesn't have to have more than 15 carries a game. Look for Ekeler to be a 12 to 13 carry guy, which is plenty with amazing target share. Guys, you're going to see when I look at these must-draft running backs, I typically don't take a guy that doesn't catch the passes. It's such a huge part of the game because you can get away with so much. If you have a bad game on the ground, you get away with so much if you add 4 catches, okay? The only guy I actually like as a running back that doesn't catch balls is Raheem Mostert, but I think that could change this year. If you look, Tyrod Taylor doesn't throw, he's a running quarterback. He doesn't throw the ball. He doesn't check down. Guys, Tyrod's the wrong side of 30, okay? We can't keep thinking all running quarterbacks are like Lamar Jackson. Tyrod Taylor's not a running quarterback. He's an elusive quarterback. And back when Tyrod was a full starter, LeSean McCoy had 77 targets with Tyrod, caught 60 balls. That's not bad at all. Ekeler runs more routes. And really, 5 targets a game is all he needs. I don't think that's out of the picture. And again, that offense, Shady had 300 carries. That's not what the offense is going to be like for the Chargers. Is it going to be a different offense? Probably a better short passing game. And honestly, more touchdowns opportunities. They have a lot of good weapons. So I really wouldn't worry too much about the whole Tyrod Taylor situation. Yeah, sure, it's a step down from when he caught 15. The most absurd sideline ever. Week 5, okay? 3 carries, 7 yards, 16 targets, 15 catches for 86 yards. Yeah, we're not going to be any of those stat lines. But he's also not going to be getting 3 carries, okay? He's going to be getting a good amount more carries. And again, his real value is not in his carries. He's not always the most efficient runner, but man, is he good in the pass game. And I would definitely be excited about him. Also, if you look at the first 4 weeks when he was first like 5-ish weeks, because like Miami was like, first like 5-ish weeks when he was the main guy, that's where he got a lot of his touchdowns. He had 6 touchdowns in those games. So like, that's a big part of the 11. So it goes to show when he had more opportunity, he was converting. They weren't just like random fleeky touchdowns. And lastly, I'm going to go Miles Sanders, who I love. And honestly, it's a big problem for me here because let's say you're drafted, you can't get Kenyon Drake, Austin Ekeler, and Miles Sanders. Like, you got to pick, because I'm drafting 11 in one of my leagues. I got to pick 2. And that's not including a guy like Tyreek Hill, who I really like at 11, and I have as my – he's like my favorite wide receiver outside of Michael Thomas. So it's definitely a difficult game choosing between those guys, and that's something I'm honestly not sure yet what I'm going to be doing. I'll keep you guys posted. But Miles Sanders is definitely a must-draft guy, and I think I'm very comfortable taking him early round 2, while his ADP – is at 21, which is late round 2. I definitely could see that rising, though, because I don't see a guy like Aaron Jones being at a higher ADP than Miles Sanders come the start of the season. I could even see Miles Sanders passing Nick Chubb in ADP,
giving all the Nick Chubb hate out there. Thank you. Nick Chubb does not deserve to be that high. I can see Miles Sanders rising in ADP, but I don't view that as an issue because I'm very comfortable taking him 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Anything after that is amazing. But I'm very comfortable taking him early round two. And I think this is simple. You don't have to get too NASA to Northwestern to get into this one. To MMSS, mathematical math, I don't know. As long as the Eagles do not sign a veteran, as long as they do not sign Devonta Freeman, Miles Sanders is 100% straight chilling. He's just chilling. He had a good split with him and Boston Scott last year. And once Miles Sanders got the job last year, he was chilling on snap rates. I know there were injuries on that team, but he had four games over an 80 snap rate. So his snap shares were good. And the Eagles did everything to show that they're invested in Miles Sanders. He's coming into year two, a lot more trust in the system. I know he got off to slow start. Thank you. Stuff out here, boys. We're trying. They didn't keep Jordan Howard. Okay, Jordan Howard is gone. It's on the Dolphins now. And Howard was used heavily at the start of the season. And they didn't really draft anybody. They didn't really bring anyone in. And Sanders was looking at 5 to 6 targets a game. And if you look at the playoff game, and they look at, who do we trust here? He had 14 carries, and he had – I can't remember. I was looking at the stat earlier today. He had about – he was either 4, 5, or 6 targets. So they used him in the games they cared about, and they haven't brought anyone in. So if he's the real starter and you have Boston Scott just coming in and, taking as long as Sanders is in the 60% snap rates, he's going to be a much better fantasy option than a guy like Josh Jacobs because he's going to have passing work, guys. Josh Jacobs is everyone's, just jacking off Josh Jacobs, man. Matthew Berry, Josh Jacobs. Guys, let's chillax a little bit. He doesn't catch passes, okay? There's a lot of issues with Jacobs. I do love him as a second rounder. No one dislikes a guy like Josh Jacobs because he's really good, a lot of potential. But they're bringing in guys to catch passes. Well, Miles Sanders haven't brought anyone in, and he's already a great pass catcher. He's really explosive. He's a dynamic player. So I think he's a great running back to choose. And, I don't know how people are taking a guy like Aaron Jones over him when that offense is just going to be a mess in Green Bay. I don't want to touch it. I'd rather touch an up-and-coming Philadelphia offense with an up-and-coming running back than a guy like Aaron Jones, who they just drafted someone and really some unsustainable numbers, and he's still going as the RB10, even though the most unsustainable season ever. A guy like Nick Chubb, who's freaking outscored by Kareem Hunt. I mean, how do you want those guys? I don't want Joe – I view Joe Mixon as an interesting – do you take – Joe Mixon, honestly, because you're looking at the same – place. You're looking at, where are we looking? We have Sanders, Kenyon Drake, Joe Mixon, Austin Eckler. So my current rankings had Miles Sanders at 6, Kenyon Drake at 7, Derrick Henry at 8, Mixon at 9, and Austin Eckler at 10, with James Conner coming in at 11. And then Chris Carson at 12, but that's just based on projected finish. I do have Josh Jacobs over him. But regardless, that's pretty much where we sit. Mixon's an interesting guy to compare to Sanders, but I think the offense is going to be better, and Boston Scott's going to be less of an annoyance than Gio Bernard. Mixon wasn't using the pass game last year. He just wasn't. It's just hard to take a guy like that. It's all about the pass game here, boys. All right, so those are three guys, must-draft wide receivers. I mean, running backs, Jesus. Must-draft. I'm not going to say these are so you know how Brad Evans, fantasy footballers. Fantasy footballers have the my guys. Brad Evans has the man crush team. Great, great, great article. If you want to – somehow you can short fantasy football players. Prop bets, you can short them. Check out Brad Evans' article. Just hammer the under on whoever he likes. I'll tell you that one right now if you remember. My boy Charlie who's on the podcast, listened to Brad too much 1 year, and he took Marcus Mariota They took Terrell Pryor and the Redskins. And they took Royce Freeman. So, really, Brad Evans killing the game. I love you, boy. Great stuff. But I probably will do one closer to the season, but it might be a little bit of a regurgitation of guys I'm currently talking about. But hey, these are my chef guys. I don't know when your draft is. Add these guys on your team. Really convincing arguments for these guys. So next episode, we're going to finish up must draft harvest, running backs, Cam Akers. I'm back and forth on if I really want to put guy like Raheem Mostert as a must draft, because I'm probably going to end up with him on most teams because I'm taking Connor. I like Mostert, but draft range-wise, I'm not sure if he's going to – I'll probably put it on there because I feel like Mostert has been getting some hate online. I'll probably include Mostert there. We have Akers. And who's my last guy I was going to talk about? I'll probably talk about Chris Carson for a little bit. Those would probably be my running back episode. Let's see. Yeah, I don't have anyone else too crazy above their rankings. So those are my guys. So pretty much my plan here. So we're going to finish the undervalued running backs. So that's a good, not even undervalued, the must draft series. We're going to finish the must draft running backs. I think we're going to do a mock draft soon, which could be fun. I've done the undervalued quarterbacks. So I think we'll do a mock draft after the running backs. We chill. We'll get mock. And then we'll do, we gotta hit the tight ends, which should not be too hard. But I'll talk about my favorite tight ends. We'll be chilling. All right, boys. Peace out. I hope you learned something. And remember, hammer Kenyon. Even though I didn't talk about Kenyon. Oh, Kenyon. Come on. Kenyon's the number one guy in the next episode. I'm killing myself. Kenyon Drake. Draft Kenyon Drake, boys. You can't get Kenyon. Draft James Conner, draft Austin Ekeler, and definitely draft Miles Sanders.